For Fresh Air, the 1980s was a decade in which our program grew from a local show in Philadelphia to a weekly national program, then a daily national program. We have a lot of interviews in our vaults that you probably never heard, and we think you'd enjoy. So we're going to end the decade by going into our 1980s archives. Some of these interviews catch performers before they were well known, as their careers were taking shape. Coming up, an interview with Bobby McFerrin, recorded in 1986, 2 years before this record made him a pop star.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now.
Bobby McFerrin first became known as a jazz singer. In fact, jazz critic Francis Davis called him the most astonishing jazz singer to come along since Betty Carter. Many jazz listeners thought McFerrin had the potential of crossing over to a pop audience, but were skeptical he'd get the chance. McFerrin is a one-man vocal group, singing every part from bass to falsetto. His father, Robert McFerrin, was a baritone with the Metropolitan Opera. Bobby sings jazz and pop songs, but he told me he often prefers wordless vocals.
Well, I like wordless singing more. For one thing, it's not as difficult to sing. You know, if you sing something with words, then it's more difficult to sing some of the high notes and to move around as easily, you know, if you've got all these consonants getting in the way, you know. And another thing about wordless singing, which I prefer, is then one song that I'm singing can become hundreds of songs, depending on how what I'm singing affects the listener. If I should say something like, baby, 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 I love you, I love you, I love you, then everybody has the same experience. But if I, you know, then what is that? I mean, that's one song for me, it's another song for somebody else, you know.
Let's talk about a couple of technical things about your voice first, because I think people who hear you for the first time are just kind of overwhelmed at what you're capable of. How big is your range?
3.5 octaves. And sometimes, depending on what happens, sometimes I can kick into maybe 4 octaves or something. You know, it depends.
Did you stretch it? Is it naturally that large?
I worked on a little bit of it. I don't think it was always 3.5 octaves. I think that when I first started singing, it could have been 2.5 to 3. But I used to smoke a lot, and I think that when I started singing, I was so conscious of that I stopped, and I was thinking about my diet and things like that. And I noticed, I think within 2 months or so, that my range increased maybe a major third or so. And then I noticed that also on the lower octaves, I had to work down to an E flat. I don't think that I could really sing that low yet, but I worked on that. So there were some parts of my range that I did have to work on.
What do you do to make your voice go lower than it's ever gone before? Stretch your range?
Well, you just think in terms of half steps. I think that my goal wasn't the E flat immediately, but maybe, you know, a G and G flat and then F, you know, and sort of working my way down a little bit at a time. And I would just try and visualize these notes and to think low, you know. But I think that now my range, 3.5 octaves, is pretty much set.
You are able to switch in the middle of a song, almost in the middle of a breath, from falsetto to bass line, back and forth like that. Mm. How do you do it? Do you have to think a certain way to get your voice to make that kind of abrupt switch?
Oh, actually, no. It's like it's advanced yodeling is about the best way I can describe it. It's pretty easy to explain. I'm not too sure if women can do this, because usually women sing soprano and alto, and their voices tend to be pretty high anyway. But perhaps some of the, you know, contraltos might be able to do this if they can distinguish between their head voice and their chest voice. I'm speaking in my chest voice for those who don't understand. And then I switch to my head voice, which is this voice. So it's a matter of switching these two voices.
That's great. Do you have to learn how to breathe in order to get enough breath to do the different roles that you do when you're singing a song? Because you sing all the parts,
yeah,
when you do a song.
Well, what's important is learning how to breathe musically and incorporating the breath in the music so that it doesn't sound that the breath is disrupting the melodic flow in any way. And that was something that I had to learn, because I used to do these pieces and then I would have to gasp for breath, and it always would get in the way, you know, it would disrupt the flow. And so I taught myself how to intone as I was inhaling, and then to use the breath in certain parts of a piece so that it sounds like it's just one, it's something that belongs there, you know, maybe like a hi-hat or something, you know.
How can you intone as you inhale?
Well, in Blackbird, I do that. Like, if you could tell where I took a breath, there it is, right?
Right. Now, you use your body as percussion sometimes, and it changes the timbre of your voice, too.
Well, actually, it just gives it a little kick. I wasn't always doing this. I play on my chest a lot, and I make these sounds. But there was a time when I didn't do that, and I always felt that there was something missing. And I would notice that whenever I was around a percussionist or someone was playing, I felt elevated somehow. And so I think accidentally one night I started playing on my chest, and I've been doing it pretty much since.
Do you have perfect pitch?
Imperfect.
It is imperfect?
No, it's pretty good, but it's not perfect pitch.
I would have thought that you had always sung, because your voice just seems like a voice that has always been singing. But you really didn't start to sing till, what, you were 27 or something?
Well, no, I became a singer when I was 27. I had been singing around the house, but I didn't consider myself a singer. And there's a big difference. I sang in church choirs when I was a kid. And I would sing some background in some show bands that I used to work with and, you know, travel on the road playing a piano player. And they'd say, okay, now we're going to feature our keyboard player, Bobby Mack, and he's going to sing You Are the Sunshine of My Life or something like that, you know. So I would do a song or two a night, and then I'd be responsible for singing background parts, which I really never felt that I was good at, and I really detested singing background parts.
Why?
They just weren't fun, and usually I would get a, you know, have to sing in a range that I wasn't comfortable in, and I wanted to concentrate on my piano playing, and I couldn't concentrate on piano playing and singing simultaneously, you know.
Bobby Mack's a great name for
that was the name I used for many years, yeah.
Why did you switch from piano to voice?
I was dissatisfied with piano. I didn't feel like it was fulfilling all my needs creatively. And I couldn't get the piano to do the things that I heard, you know, like bending notes, you know.
You wanted to go, like, between the keys,
yeah,
and
right.
You couldn't get
and
in.
And I couldn't really do that. And I didn't feel that I always had a feeling in the back of my mind that piano really wasn't it.
And was there a big turning point, or?
Well, I was working with, the turning point was when I became a singer in 77. And up until that point, I was still playing piano, and I was working with dancers and writing some music for a repertory dance theater in Utah. And I was an accompanist for the University of Utah Dance Department. And I was really getting burnt out on that, and I wanted to do something else. And so I was asking myself this question, what do I do now? And I was asking it every day for weeks when I was struck by lightning on that particular day and heeded my inner voice and became a singer.
Did you know offhand what you wanted to sing? What kind of singer you wanted to be?
That was the next process. And I went through all kinds of visualizations and fantasies about what kind of singer I thought I could be. And as a piano player and playing piano bars and singing, you know, in some hotel lounges and things, I played a lot of ballads. And I thought that I could be, you know, a balladeer, another Johnny Hartman or something, you know, with wearing a white suit and a red carnation on my lapel or something like that. I thought I could do that. And I really thought that that's what I was going to do when the image of solo voice came up one day. And I thought it was a fascinating idea, you know, because I had been pretty much taken in by Keith Jarrett's solo, you know, work as a pianist, and I really loved a cappella music and the sort of the lone musician on stage.
Bobby McFerrin in an interview recorded in 1986.